Good morning, as Gregory has said. My name's Philip. I'm visiting here from Alice Springs, and I've been here a few times now, so it's Gregory's asked me if I'd give a devotion this morning. So what I want to have a look at is to look at the life of Moses and some of the significant moments during his life where he was called to lead the people of Israel out of slavery. And I think that what happened to Moses, it can parallel to our own life experiences, particularly if we're involved in any form of ministry. And ministry can be anything from raising children to leading people in various ways, speaking the gospel or trying to lead people to Christ. So, as we know, Moses was born, and he was during a time when the Israelite baby boys were being taken and killed by order of Pharaoh because the Israelites were becoming too numerous, and he ended up, by God's providence, being raised by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's palace, which is quite ironical because that's where the edict had come from. But he was always aware that he was an Israelite because his mother had been called to care for him as a nursemaid on behalf of Pharaoh's daughter. And so he grew up being aware of his people and the plight that they were suffering. As you know, they're in bondage for something like 400 years. Not all of that time, but most of that time when they were in Egypt, they were under bondage. And when he was a grown man, perhaps around about 40 years of age, we read how he saw an injustice taking place, one of his fellow countrymen being harshly treated by an Egyptian. And so he took matters into his own hand and took out the Egyptian with a king hit. And that was ultimately seen by others. He thought it hadn't been seen by others, seen by his fellow countrymen. And also it was reported to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh had a wanted sign out for him. And so he fled to Egypt. And so it sort of parallels with, I guess, when we see things that need to be done and injustices and things that need correction, if we do it in our own strength, it's likely, there's a fair chance it'll come unstuck. So interestingly, Moses went to Midian and caught up with Jethro and married one of his daughters. And he was there for a long time. When seemingly nothing happened. Okay, and we see this often in scripture where there's this long period where seemingly nothing much is happening, but God is preparing somebody. We see it with Paul, where he was 14 years. He was, after his meeting Jesus on the road, he was 14 years, where largely the Holy Spirit was speaking to him and preparing him for his ministry. And so Moses might have been anything up to 40 years where he was just being a herdsman and in the land of Midian, possibly even forgetting the plight of his own people when God appeared to him in the burning bush and gave him that famous commission to return to Egypt and to set his people free. And as we know, that Moses wasn't keen on doing what the Lord required, and he came up with reasons why he couldn't, but then he finally agreed to do so. So then, in obedience to the Lord, he and his wife and one of his sons, I think, headed off to Egypt. And there's a very interesting verse in chapter 4, verse 24, where we're told that the Lord tried to kill Moses. Here's God's just called him to go and into ministry to set his people free. And on the way, the Lord tries to kill him, it says. And seemingly the reason is that he hasn't circumcised his son. So there's this altercation between Moses and his wife, and she ends up circumcising the boy and throwing the guilt and that sort of thing on Moses. So it's almost as though here's this, it's very significant ministry, Moses, you need to be obedient to me in all matters if you're going to pull it off. And so there was this seemingly minor interruption that took place, and then just after that, Aaron is sent out to meet Moses, because you remember Moses said, well, I can't speak, you need to send somebody to help me. And Moses is sent out, and Aaron is sent out, Moses meets him in the wilderness. And then together they go and speak to the Israelite leaders in Egypt. And of course, they tell them about the commissioning that God has given, and the Israelite leaders think this is great. Yeah, we're all for you. We're backing you, Moses. And Moses is told quite clearly that Pharaoh's not going to let the people go, and he's going to come up against resistance, which is very common of anybody who's involved in ministry, that there's going to be resistance, because you're basically trying to take over some of Satan's kingdom. Anyway, when Moses and Aaron then go and see Pharaoh, surprise, surprise, he resists what they're doing, and he insists that the Israelites are too lazy because they want to go and serve their God in the wilderness. So therefore they've got too much time on their hands, so they can go and collect their own straw to make their own bricks and so forth. At which they become very despondent and angry, and particularly angry towards Moses and Aaron. So the very people that they're called to help are then angry, even though Moses and Aaron have probably told them that Pharaoh's not going to let them go. So ultimately, Moses then goes and complains to God and says, you know, you've told me to go, I've gone, and it's not happening, it's not working out. You know, I'm getting it from both sides. Pharaoh's pushing back, and even my own people don't want to know about it, and he becomes very despondent. Anyway, Moses then recommissions him and tells him to go back there. And then, as we know, that for about five or six chapters in Exodus, there's this contest between Moses and the magicians, Pharaoh's wise men, supposedly, and there's all the various miracles, and gradually Pharaoh says, yes, you can go, then he changes his mind, no, you can't go, and so forth. All right, so presumably during this time, even though the Israelites had complained bitterly and were upset with Moses, but given that the Egyptians were dealing with all of these plagues, it must have been like a bit of a holiday for the Israelites, because the Egyptian masters would have been too busy dealing with boils and frogs and the various other plagues that were taking place. And eventually we read in chapter 11 that the Egyptians end up respecting Moses and considering him great. Okay, so the Egyptians were the ones first and foremost who recognized Moses and his authority and his commissioning. Okay, then another chapter and a half before we realize that the Israelites finally accept Moses and realize that God has sent him and he's doing what they want. So they finally obey him and prepare for the Passover and so forth and go to leave Egypt. And then, of course, we're faced again with the first lot of complaints when they're on the banks of the Red Sea, and there's the water, and here's Pharaoh's army behind them. But each time there's these complaints, and we're told it was 10 times in the wilderness, then Moses doesn't doesn't give up. Okay, he appeals to the Lord and asks for God to support him when things are difficult. Okay, he doesn't know the answer, but he puts his trust in God, and then God acts. Okay, so, and even well into the period of the journey across through the wilderness, even his own brother and sister criticize him, and that was one of quite a few rebellions that take place. But in the finish, Moses remains faithful. He stays on task, and in the finish, God recognizes and speaks of Moses as the most meek and most humble of all people that at that time. Okay, meek being like teachable and responding to what God has done. And in the finish, we find that even though Moses wasn't perfect, he slipped up with the test, one of the tests where he struck the rock when he was only supposed to talk to it. But in the finish, God showed him the promised land and relieved him of that ministry, that tiresome ministry of having to look after all of those people, many of whom were difficult to manage. And he took him. So he didn't even, he disappeared. They spent, 40 days looking for him, 30 or 40 days looking for him. And then the next time we see Moses, he's there with Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration. So it's almost, we can see that sort of eternal life has happened for Moses and Elijah as they've come there. So my encouragement for you this morning is that whatever ministry God has called you to, is to stay with it. And like Moses, don't turn on the people that you're trying to help when they turn on you. Instead, cry out to the Lord and help him to keep focused with whatever it is you're doing. Okay? Thank you.